Hello, welcome to the Fitlifting Report. Today we're going to have Usama Dakdak joining us to talk about Islamophobia because there was a bill passed this past December to promote the United States government taking a stand on Islamophobia. And when we get into that, this will blow your mind. I've been talking about the dangers of Islamophobia for some time now. But I want to remind everybody, we are a Christian news show, so for that reason, we're going to get straight into the Word of God. Today, we're reading from Matthew 15, verses 1 to 9. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said unto them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever you might be profited by me, and honors not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. You hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, the people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." The scribes and Pharisees of Jerusalem, the very seat of Judaism, had questioned why Jesus' disciples did not wash their hands before eating, speaking of a tradition, not the law. This little catch shows just how petty these men were. They could find nothing in the law to accuse them of doing wrong. But by tradition, they had something. Well, they thought they had something. Jesus answered this question with another question about their traditions which break the law. Which is more important, their traditions or the law? How can traditions have any importance if they are allowed to negate the law which God gave them? Their tradition allowed men to not provide support for their elderly parents by making donations to the temple. This would make them financially unable to pay for the upkeep of their parents and push the responsibility onto someone else. What kind of religious tradition allows for the negating of its beliefs? Jesus gives them cause to reevaluate the source of their accusations that they bring in respect to hand washing. Traditions are of men. Traditions are not all bad, but to make judgments and accusations based on them and not the Word of God sends a message that they are resorting to the smallest of things. Note that not one of these scribes or Pharisees responds to Jesus' questions. These are the, quote, doctoral type, the learned men in this area. They have nothing to respond with. Could these men have not respected their parents at all? Dear Lord Jesus, you are the great and mighty King of Kings. You know more about us than we know ourselves. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would work on us, Lord. Help us to become stronger in our faith. Help us, Lord, so that we may share what we learned today. Most of all, Lord, may we share you and be that example of your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I can close out this and see. Yes, and Usama is here. thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Sorry about being late.
Oh, well, you know, life is life. That's all I can say. You never know what life is going to throw you, and that's one of the things I keep trying to say for myself.
I'm a good Christian, so I went with the speed limit.
I don't know that I'm going to be able to, this is going to be interesting. I don't know if I'm going to be able to view all these names. We're going to see how, I'm just amazed this bill passed. I know that you asked me to help you look into this, and then I looked at this even more, and it blew my mind to the point where I could not believe that I had not pointed it out. I mean, I've seen it. and I didn't think it was as bad as it was, but holy cow, it's far worse than I ever expected. So I'm going to share a screen. Ilhan Omar introduced this bill, H.R. 5665, Combating International Islamophobia Act. Now, this is freaky scary. It's dangerous. And let me get this going, right? Okay. Here's the reason why. What we got? 56 members of Congress that signed this. And they're all Democrats, every single one of them. Some are from, we've got Andre Carson, Representative Schlansky, Janice Schlansky, Rashida Tlaib, Andy Kim, Henry Johnson, Bobby Rush, Karen Bass, of course, Sheila Jackson Lee. You can't expect anything less from her. Bonnie Watson Coleman, Representative Green, Sarah Jacobs, Marie Newman, Alan Lowenthal, Eleanor Holmes Norton. Yeah. Well, Andre Carson's in there, so he's Muslim. So that's three. That was on the first page, Representative Carson. I thought Carson lost, so I was kind of surprised he was there in October. He co-sponsored this bill in October. I think he got unelected by the time the bill went through, though. Yeah, that was kind of a surprise for me. Andre Carson was a Muslim who served under Obama, and I was thinking, you know, I thought he lost the lost an election, and so he was out in November. So he's been out a while. So I was surprised to see his name on there. Michigan. Sorry, no. Andre Carson, Indiana. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Of course, we got Alexandria, of course, Ocasio, just the idiot from New York. And there's so many names on here, and they're very proud about it, and not one Republican, not one.
But trust me, soon we're going to have lots of Republican Muslims. If we start with Dr. Oz Muhammad, or Muhammad Oz, for sure you're going to have more Muslims running in the Republican. And soon you're going to have some Republicans, some Democrats. That's why they're running for office anyway.
Yeah, this is exactly it. And this bill, I'm going to just enlarge this for a minute. I want people to see this piece here. On the right, the highlighted red area, it says more on this bill. CBO cost estimates. There are no estimates for the cost of this. That says a lot. And the thing to keep remembering is this passed the House. I mean, it's very, very important to think about that this has already passed the House. So it...
And all it takes is ending the
filibuster?
The filibuster, and you get 15 blocks of Speaker of the House if it ends in the next 4 months. This can't be.
No. But it's going, it's passed the House already, so it's got to go to the Senate.
I'm talking about the Senate. All you take is, if it's a 50-50, you get one, you get the last vote to break the tie, which is the Speaker of the House.
No. And that's actually, that would be our idiot Vice President. Yeah, Kamala Harris. Yeah, that's a little scary. That is really scary. Wow. I went into this thinking, holy cow, so what I want to do is look at this, and then we talk about these definitions of Islamophobia. It's just kind of mind-numbing. This is from H.R. 5665, and I wrote, this is right from the bill. And the thing to think about here is this, this is now received and referred to the Committee on Foreign Relations in the Senate, okay? To establish this is the thing that kills me, to establish in the Department of State the Office to Monitor and Combat Islamophobia for other purposes. That's really, vague. And they're putting it in the Department of State, which means it will totally be controlled by the executive office. No one, so if you get an Islamic president or you get a liberal puppet like we have right now, I mean, there's nothing that can be done to stop this work. This is, and this is the part that kills me. This act may be cited as the Combating International Islamophobia Act. So we are going to be the world's policemen.
If you talk about international, that means, imagine if I'm speaking somewhere in planet Earth, I will become committed a crime. And believe it or not, even though I am an American, I am still Egyptian. By the law, which we have within the state, and which was an agreement with Egypt, if I commit a crime anywhere internationally, and that's going to be a crime here, I must be taken first to my home country of birth. So I go to Egypt, and then I will become to America to be invited here. But wait a minute. If I go to Egypt, that's the end of the Islamic Act. This is it. You don't have to worry about coming back to the state.
And yeah, I mean, look, Pakistan could find you guilty of Islamophobia in this respect. Yeah, and this is. I mean, I started looking at that. So, but the United States is going. They want the United States to be the police force. Is what really blows my mind. Yeah. So we get into the Section 2 authorization for establishment of Office to Monitor and Combat Islamophobia, Title I, State Department, Basic Authorities Act of 1956. So they want to amend and add this, Office to Monitor and Combat Islamophobia. Here's the problem. They haven't even defined it. I mean, what is Islamophobia? What's their definition? They haven't defined it at all.
I love, you know what? If we can ever have a case and standard for the
Well, I found a definition that will allow that to be Islamophobic.
Are you serious?
Yes. And yeah. So this is what. So whose definition are they going to use is what I wanted to think about. Now, Bridges Initiative, this is out of Georgetown University. They wrote, what is Islamophobia? Islamophobia is an extreme fear of and hostility towards Islam and Muslims. It often leads to hate speech and hate crime, social and political discrimination. So Islamophobia is just fear or hostility. It doesn't mean you've committed a crime. That's what they've said here. So you
That does not cover if I'm reading the Quran. Will my reading the Quran be considered Islamophobia?
We'll get to one of those. There's one coming up. So the question is, which definition are they going to use? This is the Bridges Initiative, and they list people. I wouldn't be surprised if they list you on this as an Islamophobe, but they have a lot of people. Yeah, SPLC, yeah.
Can I chime in?
Yes, Darcy.
Islamophobia is, in my opinion, applied more to the Muslims because they're so hypocritical. It has to be for everybody who condemns Islam and Muslims, because Muslims, they'll say, well, that tribe of Muslims, they're not Muslims, so and who's being Islamophobic?
I was just watching Hatun today, and she was talking, I think it might have been an older one, but she was talking to someone about some, you know, what the Quran says about what Christians believe versus what Christians actually believe. And the question would she be, from what you're saying, exactly, would reading the Quran be Islamophobic? That's one of the, you'll see it's in here. I kind of couldn't believe it. So this is CARE's definition, the Council on American Islamic Relations. This is one of their definitions. And I got this off CARE.com. Oh, so this is funny. Defining Islamophobia. Islamophobia is a closed-minded prejudice or hatred of Islam and Muslims. So you can hate an ideology, and so you have to now love all ideologies. So you have to love Islam. You have to love Nazism. You have to love white supremacy. If you hate an idea, unless you're looking at this as supremacist, well, you have to accept it. I mean, that's quite a statement. Are directed at Islam, and Islamophobic acts are directed at Islam or Muslims in general. Anti-Muslim discrimination is directed at specific individual institutions or group of individuals. An Islamophobe is an individual who holds a closed-minded view of Islam and promotes prejudice or hatred. So this is the part that kills me. And then it was on CARE's site. It says, questioning Islam or Muslims is not Islamophobia. It is not appropriate to label all or even the majority of those who question Islam and Muslims as Islamophobes. Equally, it's not Islamophobic to denounce crimes committed by individual Muslims or those claiming Islam as motivation for their actions. A critical study of Islam or Muslims is not Islamophobic. This is from former CARE Research Director Mohammed Nimr, which is from 2007. This actually contradicts another site that they have. Now I'm curious if you've seen this one. They have a site that has to do with monitoring and combating Islamophobia. Have you seen this one? This is, so they have about five definitions, and one of these allows for, if you read the Quran and you have a problem with it, then that's what it's coming down to. So their definition here is, in short, Islamophobia is anti-Muslim racism. Is Muslim a race?
I think that Muslims from all races, if you want to believe in races, all colors, because I'm only obviously believe in one race, a human race. But there are Arab Muslims, there are Egyptian Muslims, there are Syrian Muslims, there are any Muslims, there are I'm talking about 56 Muslim country or 56 nationality. You cannot put Islam under race because there are American Muslims and there are Canadian Muslims and there are Brazilian Muslims. There are South American Muslims from every different country. So how can you put race on it?
I think this is the big scam. Everybody's supposed to be against racism, so the only way they can get Islamophobia. Yeah. Let me continue. It says, Islamophobia creates a distorted understanding of Islam and Muslims by transforming the global and historic faith tradition of Islam. Now, there's nobody I know who does this more, which is kind of what Darcy was saying. Distorted understanding of Islam. The Dawah people, they do more distortion of Islam than anybody else that I know of. Would you agree with that? That was invented by the International Institute of Islamic Thought. I mean, the idea was to shut us up. Yeah. And they're the ones, you know, that started a group here in Rochester, which got me going. All right, I'm going to skip to, let me get to these next ones. It's just kind of mind-blowing. Different forms of Islamophobia. This is where I started to see the problems. So I'm skipping down. It says private Islamophobia is the fear, suspicion, and violent targeting of Muslims by private actors. Okay, if we're talking about targeting, we're talking about action. So, but the problem is, I mean, actually the word and here makes this work. If they had put the word or, we'd have a problem. But it is the fear, suspicion, and, which means you have to include all three together. Then it could be a problem. I mean, this would be a violation of religious freedom is what it would be. These actors could be individuals or institutions acting in capacity not directed to the state. And they mention a few other things here, but they say Craig Hicks' murder of three Muslim American students in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, 2015 is a clear example of private Islamophobia. I personally am not, I can't remember the case real well, but you know, this is the one that got me. Osama, this is the one where you might get in trouble if you read the Quran. Institutionalized Islamophobia. Again, this is by CARE. So it says, is a phenomenon meant to articulate contrived hate and fear of Muslims that is built into the structures of the state and society for the power and or of pursuit and the justification of war and repression. Here we go. Islamophobia is based on the social construction of Islam as violent, barbaric, uncivilized, and opposed to normative democratic values. Wait a minute. Did they just describe Islam or not? So if you read the Quran here, so according to CARE, if you read the Quran, you can be charged with Islamophobia. You read Islamic history, you can be charged with Islamophobia. But and this contradicts their, this is where I, you know, I was expecting to find something like this, just because what I've learned about Islam is when they tell you one thing, they often mean another thing. They'll say one thing to the people they think that they really want to reach, and then they'll say another thing to the people, you know, that are, to the non-Muslims. Yeah. Yeah. So I looked for this and down towards the bottom of a page, and I was like, oh, wow. I was just, that just blew my mind. I'm going to send this PowerPoint to you later. So anybody who wants this, I will send it to them. Just let me know. All right. And it says different forms. Okay, that was I thought I found a UK definition. Islam refers to unfounded hostility towards Islam. Again, if you're the practical consequence of such hostility is unfair, term is not a middle of the ideal. And this came out in 1997. You know, it's like, it stifles, here's the purpose. It stifles legitimate criticism of Islam that demonizes and stigmatizes anyone who wishes to engage in such criticism. Does that, do you think it's effective, this word?
I don't think so many Americans will have a clue what to talk about this. I mean, here I'm in the field, and I am amazed of the wording of how do you want to define this homophobia. And I guarantee some Americans will have a clue what this word actually
is. It became big in Canada a couple of years ago, so I had to, so I got involved because they were going to pass M103, and that's just, it's across the pond for me, and I got involved over there, and I was giving speeches, and they had all these different definitions. This is from Arif Virani. They, in fact, they passed a law. It's not exactly law. They passed the motion, and they never defined the word. And if we do the same thing, we make this a law. I mean, what's happening now is they're bringing people up before the Human Rights Tribunal in Canada, calling them Islamophobes, and just because people don't, they're constantly being found guilty, but there's no definition. And this guy says, well, that's uttering death threats, assaulting, hatred. Again, hatred doesn't kill people. Threats, violence, violence towards people, vandalism, those are, I would say those are real threats.
What happened when Muslims practiced hate here in Canada, in the Muslim world, against everybody else who does not submit to Islam? What do you call that? A crime or not? Let me say it again. If I teach hate against Muslims in Canada, that's the hate. Muslims not only teach hate against Christian and Jews, but kill Christian and Jews. Rape women in the Middle East in 57 Muslim countries. Is this a crime or not? We're not just talking, we're talking about practicing.
Yes. And that's the big issue. I mean, I look at Islamophobia. I mean, the word phobia means irrational fear. And the question is the fear of is a fear of Islam an irrational fear? Is how I really look at it. I mean, if they really want to kill you, if their goal is world domination, is it an irrational fear?
I have a question. What exactly is a fatwa? Islamists, I think it's some Muslims that I'm issuing a fatwa on you, meaning me,
you're
talking to me. So is that a threat or no?
Well, I thought maybe it's been since I started doing this ministry 20 some years ago. And it is actually given the right by a mufti for somebody to kill you. I mean, literally, it's like you went to court and you found guilty and they perform the judgment of the judge, which is you're going to be hanged by rope or shot by bullets or maybe six injection in your hand. You will die by injection. It's the same thing in Islam. A mufti declared a fatwa that this person has committed the sin of blasphemy or the sin of whatever you want to call it, and he is judged by the authority of Islam to death. So anybody can commit that, perform that their duty before Allah and Muhammad to kill me, and that is legal right in Islam, in Islamic court, and it's over. It's over. Yeah.
So they can, so a fatwa can be issued, and it is a death declaration, basically.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what it is. But in a Muslim world, they will actually give you 3 days to renounce. But obviously, what does this have to do with me? 3 days in 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Let me share with you about
sure.
The difference between phobia and rational fear and irrational fear. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a share screen. And I don't know if the sound comes through, but it's not.
I'll wait for it to show up in a second.
All right. Islamophobia, bad perception. I'm not going to do the presentation because it's a long time. I just want to give the first two slides. Phobia is an irrational fear. And it is like, look at the screen. You cannot hear the sound. Somehow the sound is... That train goes roughly at the speed, the best speed you can get out of this train is 10 miles an hour, 11 miles an hour. If I tell you, if you stand up before the train, it will crush you, it will kill you. Stay away 50 feet from the train track. That is an irrational fear. When it comes to Islam, it is not an irrational fear, but it is rational fear. Islam is irrational fear. The best description I put for that is standing in front of the train, which just happened to go on the same two tracks, but it is 300 miles an hour instead of the 8, 9, 10, maybe 11 miles an hour. That train is so fast, if you are within 6 feet from the track, it will stop here by the fall, and it won't literally kill you. That is the difference between international field and rational. Of course, you talked about the Islamophobia from the website, and here's what he said.
Your hatred of or prejudice against the Islamic religion and Muslims generally.
And I have no problem with Muslims, but I have a problem with Islam. So I never have hatred towards Muslims. As I always say, Muslims are victim one of Islam, and the rest of the world are victims of Islam. We hate Islam, we hate the ideology of Islam, and when you hate hate, you live long. Because the ideology of Islam is hate, and he is scared that, I'm sorry, maybe get almost back here, they, of course, put me on the website, Gateway Business, and they put me personally to some attack of ads with some of them here. Here what they wrote about me, and I will stop here.
Let me read that. Usama Dakdak Straight Way of Grace Ministry is an Islamophobic organization based in Florida. Straight Way of Grace Ministry has described Islam as worse than cancer. I agree with you. Ministry founder Dakdak claims American Muslims will kill your children, and we are in war with Islam. Dakdak also calls Islam a savage cult and a disease. He believes Muslims are using school textbooks to brainwash children and that such trash should be replaced in public schools with Jesus' teachings.
By the way, I don't know if I told you this story or not. We here came to my meeting in Columbia, Ohio. I think it's coming up. And the Muslim guy from here, first he asked the lady who is in charge of the Tea Party if he can report me. And I was sitting there listening to him. And then she said, look, Mr. Bagdorf is sitting down here. Why didn't you report me? So he came to me and said, hello, Mr. Bagdorf. Good to see you. And he shook my hand. I shook my hand, smiled his face. I figured out he's a Muslim guy. By the way, these are the same people who interrupt our speaking engagement in the same school a couple months earlier. And we have to call ACLJ and we sue the school. We didn't go to the lawsuit because the school found out they cannot stop me from using the school. And they can call me and ask me, Mr. Patrick, like, when would you like to come speak in the high school? Okay. So I went and spoke in that high school, and that's from Muslim school. And then he said the same thing to me. A friend of mine, he really would love to come here speaking tonight, but he could not make it, and he asked me if I can record. I said, absolutely, because we love Muslim people to record our teaching. Then what he did not know, while he was recording me from the palm on the right side, I have my own camera in the left side. And in the middle of my teaching, I walked to the camera, his camera, and I said, for example, this gentleman here is from CARE. And if you do not know who CARE is, CARE is a Muslim jihadi organization. They are one of the branches of the Muslim Brotherhood. The same people who attacked us on September 11th and killed 3,000 Americans through the 19 Muslim believers are the same ones who are here to record me. And don't misunderstand, he's not recording because, don't misunderstand him. He's not recording because he loved me or he really want to share this video with his buddy who is not here tonight. But they're going to do everything he can to edit this video so he can stop speaking and be here somewhere on his camera. And he did not say a word. He was like somebody step on his poop. Like he pooped himself and he was embarrassed to stand up because people see that he did smell bad and he pooped himself. Anyway, I walked away from him and that is exactly what he did. They edited my presentation is called Islamophobia. It's called Infiltration of Islam by America. It's almost 3 hours presentation. Out of it, they put maybe 10 minutes or whatever, 13 minutes on the website. And they wrote out of the letter, which is insane, to every church I was invited to speak. That's in some of the local churches or the Calvary churches in Canada. That's why I have to remove out of my website my calendar, so you will never know who I'm speaking to. Anyway, so that is one statement you put, and here's another statement you want to read about.
Well, Gotti also said the same thing, that he had to do that he couldn't give because of the same concept. This says, Dakdak called Islam a wicked cult at a December 10th, 2012 event in Ohio titled Infiltration of Islam in America, which was sponsored by Mansfield North Central Ohio Tea Party. Dakdak also claimed that American Muslims will kill your children and that we are in war with Islam.
So these are bits and pieces that they talk from. If you don't have enough time for the call, we can stop.
This is good. Let's. Did you ever say Muslims will kill your children?
Actually, I said Muslims killed our children. Not will kill. This was 10 years after September 11th. This was 9 years after September 11th. I said, I taught you in the past that the day will come and Muslims will kill your children. And here it is, September 11th, 19 local believers killed 3,000 Americans. I actually can hear my Tom White a little bit later in the during. Here's the first one. and no one killed the children for not using the lawful tools. Notice now, these are two separate statements. There's about 20-some minutes between the cutout. You took the verse of the Quran out, you took the interpretation of the Quran by Muslim scholars out of my presentation, and you just put that two statements. Even though they are combined within lots of minutes apart between the first statement when I talk about the upper hand and the second statement when I talk about Allah. My response was, here is the verse you took out.
And do not call for peace when you have the upper hand.
That is exactly the statement when I mentioned the upper hand. But they quote the verse. So they added my words, they added my presentation, they added my teaching, my seminar, to make me the hateful God. Even though the word the upper hand is used in that verse of the Quran, which is obviously Allah commanded not to be peaceful when they have the upper hand. And as a matter of fact, I can go on for another 50 minutes about that slide to show you that that is exactly what Muhammad did, and that's exactly how Muslim scholars interpret that verse. So anyway, here is the verse about the unlawful food. Muslim children, with Muslim will kill your children for not eating the lawful food. It's Quran 9:21. Once again, you took the verses of the Quran out, you took the interpretation of the Quran out, then they feed the bad guy. I am the son of God because it is not good, your own book.
So if we're following their own definition, that makes them fearful of Islam.
If the Quran is my book and somebody would come out to say, hey, stop now, why are you taking my Bible, my Quran out? I want to put the verse so people will understand that is Allah's word, okay?
Not to leave it out. And in the last day,
and
the last day, and do not forbid what Allah and His Messenger forbid, and do not believe of the truth among those who have been given the book, until they pay the tribute out of hand, and they are subdued.
And I talked about the slide, and I said, it is not offensive war, it is offensive war. Who are the Muslims are supposed to be killing, the Jews and the Christians? Which one? The one who do not believe in Allah. Well, I don't believe in Allah. The one who does not believe in Muhammad, I don't believe in Muhammad. The one who does not believe in the last day, I don't believe in the last day of Muhammad. In the last day of Muhammad, Jesus will come as a Muslim. He will have four wives. He will break the cross, meaning get rid of Christianity, kill the Christians. He will kill the pigs, means he will kill the Jews, get rid of Judaism. Excuse me, that's not how I believe about the last day. But then he said, and do not forbid what Allah and His Messenger forbid. And that's when I give the example of food. I say, your kid, you infidels in America, eating, say, pork or sausage, drinking alcohol or whatever, or worshiping Jesus Christ. When you eat the unlawful food, gives the Muslim the right to engage in war with you and kill you. So when the Muslim will be stronger in America, when the Muslim right will have the upper hand, they will kill your children for not eating what is, or eating what is not possible. That's my
it's in their book. I mean, it's just what it comes down to. It's in their book.
The problem is, took the verse out, took the interpretation out, took everything I put out, and they just put this thing. The thing, which is, that is the thing.
America will have the upper hand, and they won't kill the children for not eating the lawful food.
Anyway, I hope you got that idea. I've got more and more examples of things I talked about and they cut it, edited, took it out of my teaching, and they just put their garbage propaganda on the website. So, who is the Islamic quote now? Me or them? If I said something wrong, what I would do is say, Mr. Doctor said, and he quoted that verse in the Quran, and he got it wrong, because that verse does not say that, but the verse says this. And he does it wrong because the scholars of Islam said that the interpretation is this, not what Mr. Zakar said, which is that. And that's when you come up with, yes, it's not that. It's not that. But that's not what they did. They just took everything out and made me the bad carrier of the bad news. Anyway, so that's all I want to share with you.
That is, all right. So let's get back into the bill. This is the stuff that, this bill, I mean, I think it's actually important that people think about this, because it's now before the Senate. Even though it's in committee, it still has to be voted on. So this is, I don't know the Senate number for the bill, but it was H.R. 5665. You can look it up. And it's been, the link has been put in. I'll throw it into if anybody needs that. This is scary stuff. So it says establishment, the Secretary of State shall establish within the Department of State an office to monitor and combat Islamophobia, head of office, a special envoy for monitoring and combating Islamophobia. The office shall be the special envoy from, again, they're repeating themselves. Here's where it gets interesting. The president, by and with advice and consent of the Senate, shall appoint the special envoy. If the president determines that such is appropriate, the president may appoint a special envoy from among officers and employees of the Department of State. Now, this next part, pay attention, because we saw this happen under Obama over and over again. The Secretary of State may allow such officers or employees to retain the position and the responsibilities associated with the position held by such officers or employees prior to such appointments. One of the things Obama did was he went through probably about 500 positions. It may be more, actually, where they decided that they would no longer make them presidential appointments or approval by the president. Yet you get a secretary, you get an assistant secretary, they have to be approved by the president of the United States. And in this case, this special envoy, the Secretary of State could simply approve it, and it would be something, again, it becomes out of the president's hands. It's up to the Secretary of State. And that, to me, is an issue by itself, because this removes presidential authority from the position. You get a liberal Secretary of State and you get a conservative president, there's a problem. All right, and let me go back one more. All right, it goes on. Upon establishment, the office shall assume primary responsibility for the following: monitoring and combating, get that word, combating, acts of Islamophobia and Islamophobic incitement that occur in foreign countries. Who's paying for that? You and me? Like, what does it mean to combat acts of Islamophobia? I mean, what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to pay someone to go on TV and make an announcement? Are we supposed to go and arrest them? I mean, are we supposed to take them out? I mean, yes. So Islam is here declaring there is a war, is what it sounds like. I mean, this is the wording of Ilhan Omar. You know, I agree 100% with you on that. I'm having real issues with the concept of combat with this. I mean, so this just kind of blew my mind. Coordinating and assisting in preparation that the portion of the reports, blah, 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 you know, Foreign Assistance Act of 61. Here we go. Relating to an assessment and description of the nature and extent of acts of Islamophobia and Islamophobic incitement. So they're actually separating this. This is where it gets interesting. They talk about there's an assessment. Okay, you have to have an assessment, which means you have to have tools to do the assessment. All right, here's the problem. The organizations that currently exist within the United States that are not part of the government, they are part of groups like Hamas in America, which is CARE. They are part of groups like Georgetown University Bridges Initiative. They're part of Students for Justice for Palestine. Again, another Hamas organization within the United States. This, in fact, that may be closer to PIJ, that one. But again, yeah, I'm looking at this and I'm just like, they have already been, they've turned in these reports, and they're turning in reports a year, almost a year later, with acts that have been proven to be false. So And then it repeats again, that whole phrase repeats again in the next line down. And you go to consultations. The special envoy shall consult with domestic, which would be Bridges Initiative, CARE, and other organizations. But it starts out international non-governmental organizations. Okay. Not so bad. Multilateral organizations. I actually had to look up the word multilateral. That kind of blew my mind. I did not expect to find this. What's a multilateral organization? It's an organization formed by between three or more nations. Got examples here. The European Union. All right. And how about... Yes. Well, the big one that we know of is the 57 state member organization of Islamic Cooperation. So that's the issue. I mean, because we don't have a definition. We don't know what is, but they're going to go and when you start looking at multilateral, it's three or more nations working together. That's crazy. Yeah. So if we don't have the definition, they can go to the UN. Now, this includes the UN. They can go to OIC. And I tried to find definition of Islamophobia there, and I can't find one. Maybe it's because I'm looking in English. Maybe I need to look in Arabic. But, I mean, so I found two articles that I think would be declared Islamophobia. And let me just see if I can pull one of these up. See if it pulls up here. And I'm just going to pull this. It did work. Okay. All right. And, okay. So I look at this one. This is, would this be declared Islamophobic? This happened in Paris. This is just 3 days ago. The head of a Charlemagne high school was threatened with death after asking a student to remove her veil. A principal education advisor had been the target of death threats after a tense exchange with a student who refused to remove her veil to participate in a baccalaureate exam. All right. So what it really came down to is this student, they wanted to, it's a final exam. A baccalaureate exam would be, you know, my concept of that is a bachelor's, but there are baccalaureate programs and they'll give them to high school students. Yes. So that's all he was asking for. He needed to verify she is who she claims. And she fought and she fought. And you know, eventually she removes the veil because she understands this. But their threat, they went out and they made it public that this principal did this. So now they're threatening his life.
And you lying, stealing, and cheating is practices of Islam. So somebody have an older sister or an older cousin that can go with the hijab for her and go back to that for her. And get her lost.
Yes. As long as, I mean, and if she doesn't...
In Paris.
Yeah. So there's a baccalaureate program. It's supposed to give you special privileges for international education. This is the other issue here.
I think the French, because of all the Muslim students who have problems to show their identity by their face, their eyes and their ears, their looks and all that they are,
well, it violates the law of la cité in France. Yeah, go back to, I mean, wherever. I didn't look into what country they were from. Now, here's one. And I'll, come on. Yeah, that was the last one that happened on June 20th. This happened on the 16th of June. And let me just get this over there, going from one screen to the other. Syrian migrant blames rape of 8-year-old stepdaughter on alcohol. Claims she's older than that in her head. So this... wait a minute. Okay, so... who would be charged with Islamophobia here? The guy who's writing this article? I mean, I think it's humorous because this... yeah, I mean, no, because Muhammad did it, it's okay. Is that what he's trying to say? I mean, Syrian migrant on trial in Belgium for the rape of an 8-year-old stepdaughter, his 8-year-old stepdaughter. Incest. And on top of that, in some respect, has offered in mitigation the defense that it was the first time he ever consumed alcohol. Yeah. And you don't get drunk like that the first time. No, you're going to pass out, maybe. And then he had been seduced by the girl who he claimed was older than that in her head.
Well, she's 18, she was 18. I am 28 years old. I'm seducing you to come and have
a family.
Are you kidding me?
So... who should be arrested here for talking about Islamophobia? I mean, he's making Islam look bad. That's, I mean, this is the stuff I'm thinking about. If OIC is going to be in charge of, I saw these and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, there's a whole bunch more that could pull up. But, you know, this says something. If the United States were to now combat, what would they be expected to do in these cases? I think it's worse. It's a huge censorship issue.
The whole idea of this is the invention of simple words, the 10 cents worth of words. It is shutting down anyone and everyone who would dare to expose anything wrong about Islam or anyone who will
for a lawsuit against them, but I mean, the question is, do you really want to do that? Because then you have to give away addresses and things like that you really don't want to do. No, I mean suing CARE, that because I don't know right now. I wish I did. I know somebody, but she's running for attorney general right now, so I can't. And that's in South Carolina. So let's see if I have one more here. I don't think I have another slide. Just double check. Yeah, I think I'm out of that. So, you know, my biggest concern, again, is this term Islamophobia is being used as combat. Its purpose is to destroy conversation, to stop a discussion about... Do you have any suggestions about what we should do? I mean, at this point, I mean, now that they're actually, I cannot believe it actually passed the House. I couldn't believe that. December. It was December.
This is the constitution of the Muslim. That's where Sharia comes from. The word of Allah. As is obviously the word of Muhammad in the Hadith. And maybe just read some of my books, read some other books, read some articles of the public Islam, so we can have some educated people in our communities, so we can communicate and improve upon and tell the Muslims this is America. You have insulted my Lord and my Savior, my God, Jesus Christ, throughout the preaching of the Quran, throughout the saying of Muhammad in the Hadith, throughout the sermons of your pulpit in your mosque, or in your masjid, or in your Islamic center, and nobody saw you for that. You're free. You don't believe in Jesus. You don't believe in Jesus. You think he's just a man? He's just a man. I have no right to tell you, you cannot say Jesus is not God Almighty, but he is the flesh. I have no right, because you don't believe in it. It's something you believe or not. Therefore, you have no right to tell me if I am telling the American people the truth about Islam or not. Christian, when we're just reading your books. I'm not making this up. I put a video of Muslim Imam saying that Islam is a savage cult. And we will kill the last American who will submit Islam. Muhammad says, Allah says, Muhammad says, Allah says, this is Islam. That's what your Imam believes, and that's what we put on the screen in our presentation, your teacher. At the same time, when somebody says Islam is love, we love Jews, we love Christians, we are like three branches, the Abrahamic religion, Islam, Christianity, and Judaism. And we say, this is hogwash, this is propaganda. That does not make me a son of hope, that means me and them expose the lies which he was going to be with each other. And the evidence is not my words or yours. Islam is not what I say or what you say. Islam is what is written in the book. But the Quran teaches that you be friends with Jews and Christians and hold hands and kiss on the cheek and sing kumbaya. That's not in the book. The book says, all you have to be, do not take the Jews and Christians for friends. I'm sorry. Your Quran does not teach you to take your preference. Now, your Quran teaches that I'm an infidel. I know you tell the American people you believe in Jesus or believe in Christianity. But I'm sorry. That's a lie. Because my Jesus of the Bible has nothing to do with the Jesus of the Quran. When I believe in my Jesus, according to my Bible, your Quran says I'm an infidel. 572. Infidel indeed. As Jesus said, surely Allah is the Christ of Mary. I believe Jesus is God. Surely, or infidel indeed, those who say Allah is a servant tree, I believe in Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Your Quran 47:4 says, when you meet those who believe in there, strike the next, and say, meet the grace of God among them. Your Quran says, to literally, beget the Christians who believe in Jesus Christ, according to the Bible. For me to talk about that, you're going to call me some of it. I'm sorry, I just read your Quran, and if the Quran's not clear, I have no problem. I can read you the Muslim scholars' interpretation to these verses, and it will make it even worse. Exposing the falsehood of the teaching of the Muslims in the West. It is not Islam. It's especially when I have the evidence so that what I'm teaching is true and what they're teaching is a lie. The word of Allah, the same Muhammad, Muslims are the teacher. Don't hear their comments on the phone because I'm exposing how savage Islam is. We're talking about 79 verses of the Islam law commands Allah for you to engage the war with us, the Christians, the Jews, and others with Islam, submit Islam. 26 verses were the word that jihad was mentioned 28 times. And many other verses were said, kill, or cut the hands and legs, or crucify, or banish him from their school. The Jews and the Christians, why? Because they will not submit to your call, your Muhammad, or become a Muslim leader in call for the establishment. I'm sorry, I don't know where, how the world you can put Islamophobia in people like me or Brother Paul, with all what you do, where it's teaching you, if you don't know it, or exposing your lies, you are just a good Muslim leader.
Well, I look also at one of the programs that you and I are involved in is with dissecting the Quran. I mean, we're using your translation, and we're going through the Quran, and we're looking at what does it actually say. I mean, to actually think, if you want to go through the Quran, this is probably the best way. And when you get educated, and you're famous for saying this over and over again, Usama, don't burn the Quran, read it. We have to be careful of, for us, we have to be careful that we don't do what they're doing. They practice deception to protect Islam. I'm sorry, I'll practice truth, you will practice truth, and expose the lies of Islam.
They pretend, and we're exposing what they are saying. They pretend to love us, but we still love them. Want them out of the savage cult of Islam, so they can have forgiveness for their sins, so they can have eternal life. You see, there is no other way to get the right to Christianity. Because your sin cannot be forgiven except by the shedding of blood. Jesus died on the cross to save you from your sin. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. Without Christ, you cannot have eternal life. And there's no other name under the heaven which by it a man or a woman can be saved except the name of Jesus. Savior, Jesus, Lord Yeshua, Yeshua means God's sake. Savior. But according to Muhammad, he's not a savior, he's a savior. There's a meaning for the Quran. Because on one hand, Muhammad says, nobody can die for another person. Okay? Every person has to be behaved on their own sin. But at the same time, Allah causes that someone who looks like Isa to die on the cross for Isa. So Allah saves Isa by another Isa, but Isa cannot save me.
The contradictions of the Quran. You know, I always find his contradictions, like he says, Isa didn't die. And then it says, I believe it also says he raised him up. Okay. If he didn't die, what did he raise him up from? I mean, just, so he took him, I mean, there's a whole, yes. So Muhammad is still in the grave. That's the. Usama, I want to say thank you for coming, and God bless you. And tell everybody how they can support your ministry, please, before you say good night. God bless. Thank you. It's an honor to have someone who's daring to join us, who goes out there and shares the truth. One of the things I have been working on is you know, I've been sharing with Usama on helping out with his show. I'm going to tell everybody, you can go to paulsutliff.blogspot.com. You can find the list of the series that he did on the lies in the textbooks. Go there. Yeah, it was 20 shows, and it's phenomenal. Now he's going through the lies and that have to do with science. And I have to admit, they're humorous. I'm going through some of them for other purposes, but you know, I'm always laughing when I see some of these things. Like, they won't pass a high school class if you accept some of these things. And that's what the theorists say over and over again. They laugh at the people who get killed for mocking. They mock him because he can't even get the story right that he's trying to copy. Thank you. God bless. All right. It's an incredible thing to have someone like Usama here, and you know, it's an honor to have him. I have been just mind blown with this stuff on Islamophobia. And, you know, I look at my trip to Canada to fight against the concept that they would have a law passed there to take away their freedom of speech. That has never left me, that concern that freedom of speech could be taken and stolen from you and me. That's what these laws will do. I think there's another purpose tied into this law. And is there? It's kind of twistedly written into the law. Because it's put into the State Department financing of, let's say, an organization or a group would be taken away. I'm not talking about federal financing. This is where it gets interesting. So let's say, let's play with that, federal financing. So if, let's say, a Jewish organization dares to bring up what it says in the Quran, and it says that Allah is the author of terrorism. They're citing the Quran, and Allah says he incites terror into the hearts of the infidels. Now, can they be charged with Islamophobia? Well, if we're taking CARE's definition, yes. Okay, then that organization, let's say it's Israel, they're just reading from the Quran. Now that organization can no longer receive finances. So if it's the country of Israel, they've just removed all. This is where I'm getting at. Again, it's very, very, this not having a definition makes this incredibly problematic. If they follow CARE's definition of institutional, and I'll go back to that. Let me pull that back up. It's, if we go back to that, that's a huge problem. And again, if we go to the CARE definition, that's what I'm saying. We go to the CARE definition of institutional Islamophobia, we're in trouble. If that gets accepted, and let me go back. There we go. And share the screen one more time. This is scary, scary stuff. If we go to this, if the United States accepts this definition, we are all in trouble. I'm just going to grow this. It says right on the top, a project of CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations, institutional Islamophobia, a phenomenon meant to articulate contrived hate and fear of Muslims that is built into the structure of the state and society for the pursuit of power and the justification of war and repression. Then they go, it's based on the social construction of Islam as violent, barbaric, uncivilized, and opposed to normative democratic values. All right, here's where I get concerned. So you can get in trouble for telling the truth. You can get in trouble for telling. And they're going to send the United States out as the policeman. What are they going to police? What if you ask these questions? Does Islam have to believe in supremacy? Okay, you're in trouble. How about this question? Is there an Islamic social norm against telling the truth? Oh, you're in trouble. How about this one? Is slavery legal under Islamic social norms today? Oh, I guess I'm in trouble. I put that in my last book and I published it in different articles. How about this next one? Are there racist social norms within Islamic beliefs? Oh, and if we cite Islamic scripture, we're in trouble because we're looking at Islam being racist and they're saying Islamophobia is racism. We have a problem here. Ethnic prejudice that gives Arab superiority. They would call you an Islamophobe. Why? Because you're looking at, this is the whole point. I'm just going to pull this back up the screen. This just will never cease blowing my mind that they would say this. Based on the social construction of Islam is violent, barbaric, uncivilized, and opposed to normative democratic values. Under Islam, are women considered less than equals? Are women required to wear the hijab or is it a choice? Do Islamic social norms make men see women as intellectual equals or sex objects of pleasure? Is child marriage or forced marriage an Islamic social norm? Even asking these questions would make me an Islamophobe. Asking them as a serious, scholarly manner, looking at things. Problematic. And this is the contradiction. You go back a few more pages on this and CARE's other definition. Oh, and they say here, it is not appropriate to label all or even the majority of those who question Islam, Muslims, as Islamophobes. Now, wait a minute. And they have no problem with a critical study, they say. But at the same time, if you call Islam what it is, you're in trouble. This is dangerous. This double speak is dangerous. Speaking out two sides of your mouth. If we talk about the concept of hatred, does Islam teach hatred? Right? So this week I'm working in a school and I'm talking with different teachers. One teacher says to me, she's had students who families from Yemen, and the children are being taught to hate America by their parents. And, I'm thinking, I may talk to someone about that kind of concept because I already talked to someone locally about this. But here I am concerned. But could talking about these things, even bringing this question up, would that make even reporting possible dangers of terrorist activities, would that make you an Islamophobe? This is the issue that's happened in the UK. People don't report as much because they get afraid of being called Islamophobe. In France, it's the same issue. They're afraid of being labeled an Islamophobe. It's happening all through Europe. The issue is Islam is not a religion. There is a legitimate reason to fear it. So Islamophobia is a made-up word. It's not even a real word as far as I'm concerned, because the two together, you have a logical reason to fear Islam if it's out to kill you. So maybe we need to create a word that that says fearing Islam is logical. I'll have to do some research, but I think we need to start using another word to describe how Islam is fearful of being exposed. That's what Usama's show is all about, revealing the truth about Islam. It's kind of what Eric, it's what all of us together in the little network that we have, that's what we do. expose Islam for what it is. It's a fearful, small God religion that can't stand up to being questioned. It's very, very small-minded. It's very, very fearful of facts. It's fearful of being called out for what it is. That's probably the worst thing about Islam. It is fearful. And its God only wants your fear. My question to you, and I'll say it over and over again, if you are willing to find the truth, read the Quran. It'll tell you it's wrong. It'll tell you it's inadequate. It'll tell you it's dangerous to believe these things in the Quran. Because if you believe those things, you're going to commit acts of violence. Because you have to follow the things that were said last as most important. And what the things that were said last, we're looking at chapter 9. And I'll leave it there. And that's where things get scary. Critical study is not supposed to be considered Islamophobic, according to CAIR. But at the same time, they turn around and tell everybody else, if you say Islam is violent, hey, the Quran says it's violent. So if you read the Quran and the Quran says it's violent, and this is where you get into that circle. It goes round and round. Are you safe if this becomes law without a definition? We'll be in the same rut that Canada is in. People are fearful of doing what is right. That's not something any Christian should be in. I'm going to cut off early tonight, and I say thank you for everything. Darcy, did you have anything you wanted to say?
The thing I'm going to say is to the viewers, read. Do your own research and don't take for granted what the Muslims tell you, because they don't even know.
And I'll say buy the generous Quran from Usama Dakdak Straightway Ministry. I don't know of another good translation. That's one of the things that we're looking at. That's just, there's nothing out there that is purposely telling you what they believe. I think the stuff that really shocks me, and I just saw it with Atun the other, I don't know if it was today or yesterday that came out, but she was interviewing a person, or it was a debate, and he could not answer her about what Christians believe. He couldn't know what Christians believe because Islam tells them Christians believe something that we don't. Going to trust another religion to tell you what a religion, like if you're going to trust Christianity to tell you what Islam believes, and you're going to try and find those answers in the Bible, there's a problem. But if you want to read the Quran to find out what Islam really teaches, again, I recommend buying the generous Quran. I recommend listening to Usama's shows. Join Dissecting the Quran. Join that channel. Join Eric's Cross and Crescent discussion group. God Logic. There's a great number of people out there working to get you the truth. You have to get out there. You have to again, do your own research. I say buy these books, read them, study. David Wood, who is leaving YouTube soon, go listen to his stuff before it disappears. It's important that you do your own research. Don't take what we're telling you as fact. Go find out for yourself. And one of the things I want to say thank you to XYZ. One of the things I always try to do, and XYZ covered me today, and I'm really thankful. When I put my sources up there, I hope you saw them that were up there saying where to find the bill, and XYZ put them out for you. I'm not lying to you at all. This bill is real. It's already passed the House. All right. And the link is in the chat room. So, yeah, and Reliance of the Traveler, excellent, excellent, excellent. I mean, I have to have a hardcover for something that big. So, I mean, I recommend it. buy it. Reliance of the Traveler. Pick it up. I've got Usama's translation here. I have it in a PDF, and I have his hardcover. All right. I use this a lot. I think everyone, if you're serious about becoming a real student of truth, you have to go find these things out for yourself. I have my book here, and it's The Cancer of Civilization Jihad. Pick it up. There's a lot of good stuff up there. There's other books that I put out. My goal is to put truth out. I recommend the devotionals. That, to me, I think, is the most important work I do. I put out a devotional, which actually is my bestseller out of everything I've done, working. And it's funny because it's not something I intended to do. I sat down with my partner, who is Michael Williams, who from church, and our pastor asked us to work with Preteen Boys. And it wasn't something I wanted to do. I'll be honest. I did not want to do it. And we worked with preteen boys, and we discovered, here we got boys who can read, and none of them are reading the Bible. So together we wrote a book called Proverbs, a book of wisdom for boys. What we did was we handed out to the boys every week 7 days worth of reading of the Bible. And we put some stories from our lives, older stories that I had connections with, and shared them. And Proverbs is a book. I say it's written to boys. Sorry, we don't talk because it's preteen boys. There's nothing in it about girls. if you look at it this way, if you look at it for preteen boys, everything is skipped that has to do with girls. Of course, we never got to Proverbs 31, of course, because again, it's for preteen boys. But pick up the Bible, study it. That's the best thing I can tell you. If you're a Muslim and you're listening and you want to prove to me, you want me to believe Islam, that Islam is right, here's my challenge to you. Read the book of Matthew. Read the entire book. There is no book in the Bible that says over and over and over and over and over and over again, as much as the book of Matthew does, that Jesus is God, or Jesus says it himself. I can't tell you how many times. It's over and over and over again. I'm doing a study now. We're on day 77, and we're in Matthew 16, I think. There is just so much in this book. When you go through scripture and you read it, it just grasps you in a different way. So I'm going to keep saying, pick up the Bible, read it. It's the best way to learn anything. There's a lot of news out there today, and I picked two stories that I thought were important. There is so much out there. I'm going to suggest you subscribe to events like, to sites like robertspencer.org. Go to the Religion of Peace. .org and subscribe, or just keep going to those places, because a lot of these news stories are simply hidden from you through the hard work of things like Google, by lowering people's ability to find it, just like they do with this channel. So my suggestion is fight for the truth, get the truth out there, share the truth. Don't be afraid to tell the truth. God bless you all. We'll see you next week. Thank you.
Awesome, awesome.